This is Emory University's Sound Science, conversations on transforming health and healing. Coming up on Emory University's Sound Science, pulmonologists Annette Esper and Greg Martin discuss sepsis and their latest research on one of the leading causes of death in the United States. I'm Robin Trocolis, and this is Emory University's Sound Science. Few patients have heard of sepsis, let alone understand how lethal its more severe forms can be. Greg Martin explains.
Sepsis is the body's immune response to an infection, but the immune response sort of goes haywire, and it actually is exaggerated to the point that it causes more inflammation and more injury or damage to the body as opposed to just fighting the infection.
In fact, sepsis varies widely in its severity and lethality. Severe sepsis involves injury to one or more organs, such as the lung, kidneys, or liver, whereas septic shock involves low blood pressure requiring immediate medical intervention. Both can prove deadly.
In the simple form of sepsis, the mortality rate is on the order of about 15%. If you have severe sepsis now, the mortality rate is probably more like 35 or 40%, and it's more related to the organ dysfunction that goes along with it. And septic shock, then, is the most severe form. The mortality there is on the order of 60 or even 80%. And so when we think about how many people die, it depends on which form of sepsis they have. And when we think about it epidemiologically, you're talking about between 200,000 and 300,000 people a year. So it's a lot of people that are dying with sepsis each year.
For those who do survive, they may suffer long-term consequences, but be unaware that those consequences are linked to sepsis.
It tends to be a very critical and lethal disease. You tend to have people who either recover from it or don't. And so people who recover from sepsis don't recognize having long-term consequences from it. It does reduce quality of life. We don't know how long that persists because it's very hard to do these studies over a very long period of time. We realize that people have decrements in their quality of life. Some of them are sort of psychologic and mental and cognitive, but even more, a lot of them are physical.
Although Martin began his career studying acute lung injury, or ALI, and acute respiratory distress syndrome, ARDS, he soon became interested in studying the link between it and sepsis. Sepsis is now recognized as the most common cause of ALI or ARDS.
One of the things that can happen is the lung can become injured. People end up on a respirator, they have trouble getting enough oxygen, and that's sort of what acute lung injury is. It's when people become very critically ill, their lungs stop working normally, and they get a lot of edema and debris and water and fluid buildup in their lungs. So when that happens, they end up going on a respirator and being supported for days or sometimes weeks.
Unfortunately, despite years of research, effective treatment for this condition remains elusive.
We understand much more about what the condition is, what causes it, but we don't necessarily have a good sense for how to treat it. So we realize that it's an inflammatory insult. So one of the initial strategies was to block inflammation. So you'd give something like steroids. Steroids block inflammation. They work in a lot of diseases. Steroids don't help with this.
Martin's current research involves collaboration with several researchers, including colleague Annette Esper. Esper says that the team's research focuses on the most serious forms of sepsis to identify factors that predict which patients may develop sepsis and its severe complications.
The purpose of the study was to look at how certain comorbid clinical conditions that we see in patients in the ICU, how they may affect the development of organ dysfunction in sepsis. So we particularly looked at diabetics, and what we found is that in patients with severe sepsis, diabetics were less likely to develop acute respiratory failure when compared to non-diabetics.
Which is an unexpected and curious outcome for those patients.
The respiratory failure is really contrary to what you would expect. Often every chronic comorbid condition we see puts someone at higher risk for complications. And the fact that they have diabetes and they're at lower risk for developing respiratory failure and acute lung injury is very unusual.
Future studies, the researchers say, will look at the links between severe sepsis, septic shock, and the development of ALI in diabetics, including glucose control and the use of specific diabetes medications. Determining what these links are may change how those with diabetes are treated before they even arrive in the ICU, and more importantly, may lead to new therapies for preventing lung injury in critically ill patients overall.
Like Annette says, some of the medications that people take as diabetics, I mean, they take a lot of oral agents as an outpatient that Annette's studying that are a very common class of medications now, are known to be anti-inflammatory, and it may be that part of what we see maybe a medication that's commonly taken by a diabetic, and that happens to alter the immune response and alter the risk for developing acute lung injury. It could be a lot of those things that diabetics do as opposed to the diabetic state itself.
I'm Robin Trakolis, and this is Emory University's Sound Science.